quit school. Did you think about what the future was going to be like for you?
No, I really didn't. I knew I wanted to either go back to my grandparents or else I wanted to go out of town and where I could get a good job. But I never could, you know, knew anyone that lived out of town where I could go and stay with them, and I wanted a waitress job, and I didn't want it, because if I got in there and done something wrong, I was really a person that would get easily embarrassed, and my face would turn red. But I went in the dime store. They were so nice to me there that I stayed there, I guess a couple of years, or a year and a half anyway.
Do you remember how much money you made there?
No, I don't. I got thinking about that whenever you said you were coming up, and I just don't remember. But it wasn't much. I don't suppose I made over. If I made $10 a week, it is surprising. Because in those days, it was depression, you know.
That's what I wanted to ask you was what year it was about when you went to work at the dime store.
It was in 23, I believe it was. Something like that. Yeah. 23, 24. And I worked there about a year and a half, I guess. And it was called the American Dime Store. And we used to have a lot of Mexicans come in there, you know, and we had one lady that understood Spanish. And these were people that the farms all brought in, the Mexicans and the black people, to go out and pick their cotton and do their field work, you know. So Mexican come in and wanted something, and lands of mercy, I couldn't understand them. First time I'd, you know, been around one of them to really try to understand them. So I had to call the other clerk over, and she had to wait on, because that went my, you know, my big sale for the day. And, I don't know, I liked it very well. And a lot of my friends come in, because it's the only dime store in town. We only had two grocery stores, and two dry goods stores, and one shoe store, hardware, you know. And the dime store was the only one. And I liked it very well.
Now, you said that you were giving part of your money back to your family?
No, I used it to buy my own clothes. My grandmother bought most of my clothes after I got bigger. And because my folks wasn't making too much money, and there was too many little kids to feed and clothe. And my father did feed us fairly well. About as good as anybody in the town, you know, except the real rich ones. And, but I bought my own clothes from then on out. And then there was a lot of cattle ranches around there, you know. And I got to know quite a bit of the cattle ranch. And after I quit the dime store, I went out and cooked on what they call the old Roe Ranch. It was where they raised cattle and cowboys. And this cook quit, and I worked out there about 2 weeks, I guess. I was about 17 years old, 16 and a half anyway. Anyway, I went out and cooked beans and cornbread for him.
You said for 2 weeks?
I did it for about 2 weeks, yeah. And then I got to know, they used to drive the cattle right by our house where we lived there in town. And I'd get to know them all, you know. And then my brother got acquainted with a lot of them, too. And they knew us, I don't know from where, but they just knew us. And I met this one cowboy, and at 18, I married him.
Can we go back a minute? I want to ask you, who would be the rich people in town?
Well, like the bankers and the big cattlemen, you know, mm-hmm. Because I said you've heard of the Big King Ranch. Well, it wasn't around there, but we had one almost as big as called the Jet A's and the Row and the Shoe Nails and the 4-6s, and I don't know, there was about, and they all had big homes there. They were big cattle men.
Did you go to school with their children?
Yes, yes, yes I did. And Blockers, people by the name of Blocker, they had a pretty good sized cattle ranch, and I went to school with their daughter.
What was that like, going to school with kids that had so much money?
They were just like we were. Well, some of them was a little bit high tone, you know. They thought they wasn't good enough to associate with people like us. But the biggest part of them, we did. Because they played, some of them played basketball, some of the girls. And some of the guys played the footballs, you know, and we always went to football games. And I don't know, I just got to go know more cattle people and the married people. I don't know, I took to the older people rather than people my age. And in 31, I married.
Okay, before we get to that, why did you only work for 2 weeks at cooking at the
cabin? Well, they found a cook that was better than me, you know, because I was young. But I just went out and helped them out. And I got to ride all during that time, too. I was quite a cattle girl. Quite a horse cow. I rode a lot of the rodeos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What events would you ride?
Pardon?
What would you do in the
parade? Well, I would just ride in the parade, mostly, because us girls didn't go out and rope anything, but we did have barrel races, and we did ride in that. But other than that, I would go to the ranch whenever I was going with a cowboy. Why, they'd take me out the ranch, and I could ride the horse, and I went and helped them with the roundups and like that, you know. But in the town where I lived, before I married, why, one of the cowboys let me borrow his horse, you know, and I'd run my barrels. But I didn't do any roping because the women didn't do any roping then. There are no bucking horses or anything like that. But it was a lot of fun. And we always had big rodeos there on the 4th of July, 4th, 5th, and 6th. 3rd, 4th, and 5th it was. And it was 3 days. Everybody would come and they'd have great big picnics and have big barbecues, you know, they'd kill beefs and bring them in, and barbecues of beef and beans. And it was just free for the public. And we always attended that. And that's how I got to know them, you know. And that's how this guy that was running the place, he was the boss. He didn't own it, but he was the foreman.
You know, the ranch where you cooked?
Mm-hmm. He was the foreman. And I got to know him, his wife, and his daughter, real well. And he said, they called me Virginia then, and they said, Virginia, I said, want you to come out and help us out for about 2 weeks till we can get a steady cook. Because Mother didn't want me to go out there and stand with all them cowboys and me, a young girl. And so I did that for him for 2 weeks till they got a cook. Although his wife and daughter was around, but they lived in a different house than what I lived in. And they stayed in their own, they done their own cooking, you know.
Where did you stay when you were there?
I stayed in another part of a house. And who was in that? I don't know, I think some of the cowboys had a room there, one or two of them. You know, the main ones, straw boss, they had what they call a straw boss. And then the rest of the time I just stayed at home and went to go and know this guy. Married him.
Well, now, after you, did you go back to the dime store? Did you get another job after that?
No. I went to another little town, my girlfriend and I did, and tried to find a job. But they said, no, we didn't have any experience. We tried to get a job as a waitress. And we determined they wanted experienced girls, and they thought we was too young anyway. So we didn't get a job. We just come back home. Girlfriend visited me for a while, and she took off to Oklahoma. Then her people lived in Oklahoma. So she went back to Oklahoma, and I just stayed there in town, stayed at home all the time.
What kinds of things would you do?
Oh, as I said, some cowboy would come in and say, let's go down to the ranch, take a ride, and something like that. Or, I don't know, I did a lot of sewing, crocheting, not crocheting, but embroidering, stuff like that around home. And not much of nothing. There wasn't nothing to do. Go over and visit my neighbors, and they were older people. Well, they as old as my grandparents. And I'd go over there and sit with this old lady maybe all day long and listen to her talk. Then there was an old man lived across the street. He was an old railroad worker. I'd go over and visit him. Us kids go there and stay all day with him. And that's about all thing I've done. Then I had a girlfriend live right back of us. And she and I'd sit all day long and talk about her boyfriends. Something silly, you know. And then, as I said, there were dances every Friday and Saturday night. And that's where I went. And that was about all. Take a walk down Clarendon, go to a movie. They only had one movie house, and I had a girlfriend that lived right downtown. And I'd always meet her at a certain time. And she and I'd go to the movie and sit in there 2 or 3 hours. And that's about all I did after I quit work.
Did I ask you why you quit the dance store?
I don't remember when I quit or they let me go or what happened. I don't remember. I hadn't thought about that in years.
Now, were you 18 when you met your husband?
That's
when you got married.
That's when I got married, when I was 18. Yeah. I'd go on, off and on with him. And, I was going with this one, that one, the other one. But I finally decided, well, he hasn't been married. And he was the foreman of the ranch where he worked. And he had a big house. So we went to Oklahoma, Hollis, Oklahoma, you know. In Texas, you had to wait. You go get your license, and you had to wait about 3 days. Or 3 days to get married. So we decided, well, we'd go across the line and marry right then and there. Get your license and the minister all at the same time. You didn't have to go to the courthouse or anything like that to get your license. And that's when I got married. We went across the line.
So one day you just decided to go?
Yeah. There was two couples of us. And they got married too. So we had a double wedding.
Now, how old was he?
You're going to be surprised. He was 42 years old. Yes, he was 42 years, 44, and I was 18.
I wondered because you said he was the foreman, and I thought must have been older.
Yeah, he was 42, and I suppose I got pregnant the first night we slept together. And a little bit over 9 months, I had a baby daughter. And so we lived 14 miles from any town. And last few weeks, you know, of my pregnancy, I had to go in and stay with mother and father because couldn't get me to the doctor fast enough. And my daughter was born at home, too. And my grandmother and my mother was there.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back and ask you how your parents and your grandparents felt about you up and deciding to marry this guy.
We ran off. We eloped, in other words. But my parents liked him very much because he'd been to the house several times, you know, and he'd sit down and talk to both of them, you know. And my grandmother met him once or twice, and she liked him, too. But everybody liked him. They couldn't help but like him. Yeah. And he's such a good guy. And he was a good, congenial guy. But the others, to me, the younger cowboys, they were silly and they were, I don't know, I just never did go for them. Come near marrying another one that was about as old as he was. And I thought, well, I didn't think as much of him as I did of this one, so.
Now, what was his name?
Sidney Gillis.
Gillis?
Geddes. G-E-D-D-E-S. Uh-huh. And that's the name that I worked under when I first came to California. And when my daughter was about 9 years old, he passed away.
What did you do those 9 months before your daughter was born? You lived on the farm, out on the ranch.
Out on the ranch. I rode right along with my husband. And I, well, after I got pregnant, I couldn't stand the smell of food, so I couldn't cook. We had a big house, a big, great big 7-room, had 3 porches on it. Boy, I'd make for that front porch. Oh, I was, for 6 months, I was sicker than a dog. I'd smell food and up it'd come. I was so sick. But I was well as long as I was outside. And if I could nibble on something and be outside, it was all right. But if I eat something in the house, oh, I'd get sicker than a dog. I rode with the cowboys. I rode 2 weeks before she was born. Trailed a herd 25 miles. And it was coming a big rainstorm and lightning all over. That was in Texas now. We had 50 or 75 head. Bring them from one ranch to the other. And I looked around and looked up the front of the herd, and the lightning was just playing from one horn to the other. And we was pushing those cattle. We all had what they call slickers. It was raincoats. We called them slickers. We all had slickers. And the boss wasn't along. The owner of the ranch wasn't along. But when we got back to the house, he was there. He said, they called me sis, but he's part of the time. But out in public, they all called me Virginia. And he said, sis, don't it hurt you to ride? I said, no, sir, I'd rather be out in the open air and be in that house. And I run what they call a squeezer. They run the cattle down a chute, you know, and bring the side in together and hold them in there while they dehorn them, cut the horns off. And then they brand them in there, too. But that was right in the corrals at the house, you know. And I run that thing, a great big pole, you know, way out. And all you had to do was pull it out a little bit and sit down. And as long as you didn't hurt the old cow too much. I run that while I was pregnant. And then I raised chickens and ducks and geese. And we had the most beautiful place. Was surrounded in cottonwood trees and some fruit trees. And then about 400 feet from the house, we had a great big lake. And after my daughter growed up, I was scared to death, you know, when she kept walking, to let her outside. And my husband always called her Snooks. We got out one day and we couldn't find her nowhere. We had snakes around there, rattlesnakes. Couldn't find her anywhere. And we had a great big wolf dog, a white greyhound. He was German. And he had followed her down to the lake. And there she was, up to there, in that lake, going out and get something. I don't know, and when we found her, like the scared us to death. And one time I went out looking for her, and I called her and called her. She was out the wood pile. We had burned wood. You know, we had no gas or electricity or anything. And she was on the other side of the wood pile, some way or another. And I hollered, Ramona, Ramona. She'd say, Just like that. She'd go, not loud enough for me to hear. She always did. And right to this day, she'll say, If she's in another room. I'll say, I call her Mona now. Mona, I want to tell you something. I said, if you don't quit, I thought I broke you there. But that's the oldest child I ever had. It was a great life on the ranch.
How long did you stay there?
Well, we stayed at this one place till she was over a year old, and they closed out. They fired the guy that was running it, who was over my husband. And we went, got another job down in what they call Childress, Texas. And we moved out on a cattle ranch out there. And we stayed there at the main quarters, headquarters, for about, a year. And then they built us a camp, what they call a camp, a house up way up in the pasture. And my closest neighbor was 5 miles. And it was 25 miles to any town. We had to go through 4 gates to get out. But that, well, we had a car. And so then when we moved up there, we had just one bedroom, then living room, then dining room, kitchen together. And when they would come up there, why, they'd come up with a herd of cattle to do work, you know, with the cattle. Why, I was the cook. And then these people leased another cattle ranch about 14 miles on the other side of this town. And they'd pull us all down there. And we'd go down there, and I would do the cooking down there. Every Brandon time, around 4th of July and some time in there, so we'd stay down there about 2 months, I guess. Then he'd come back. And then when my daughter got old enough to go to school, I had to move into town. Although I did take her back to my mother's, or to my grandmother's. And I left her there with them in the first and second grade. But I couldn't stand her being away from me, so I pulled her out. And I got too much, you know, for my mother. And I put her back down there, and I moved into town. Into just one little bachelor room, you know.
Back to your hometown?
No, in Childress. Yeah, and I had to leave my husband out there by himself because he couldn't go back and forth. That's 25 miles up there, 25 miles back. And he had his own chores, you know, he had to do at home, and his own cattle there to look after. So I would go in on Sunday night and stay until Friday evening and come home Friday evening. Be there over the weekend.
What would you do during the week then while you were there and she was in school?
Oh, I never got so bored and all my put-togethers, nothing. In the wintertime, I always kept the car most all the time because I drove back and forth, you know. In the wintertime, I got to know a couple that lived in the same apartment house I did, and they'd make a sled and we'd take the car, I'd drive the car and we'd go up and ride in that sled. You know, all over the streets, the back streets. And then sometime some of the cowboys would come in and they'd sit with me and talk. Or if we wanted to, she and I'd go to a movie. And that's about all. There was nothing to do. And my landlady was a very good woman. She just loved me and I loved her. And I'd go down a long time and talk to her and her husband. Then I got to know this other young couple, as I said, that lived there. And she and I'd mess around all day long. We'd read or sew or something. And as I said, I had done a lot of embroidery work then. And that's about all we did. Go home on the weekends and ride horses. My daughter finally got her own little horse, saddling. She just had a big time. Of course, in the summertime, you know, if school was out, I'd go back. But I'd have to go from one place to the other to cook. I cooked for 60-some-odd people at one time. And I had to, we killed a beef, and they hung it out in the screen porch where it all cooled off, you know. And they forgot to eat, my husband or other, the straw blossom down there, forgot to cut me some meat. And I had to go out there and cut all the steaks. I cut 30-some-odd steaks, you know, and then I halved them after I got them in the house. Sawed them through the bone, everything. And while I was down there, I had to make biscuits from the start, you know. One day while I was down there, they was working a big herd of cattle right down the corral, pretty close to the house. This was a big rock house. The walls were 18 inches thick, rock. And it was two-story. It had three bedrooms downstairs and four upstairs. And a couple of... Oh! So,
yeah.
One day I was down there and came up a big cloud. Oh, it was black, and I was boarding, and this time I was cooking at the ranch. The school was on, so I had to leave my daughter up with a lady that I lived with there in Childress, which is just 9 miles. And I seen this big cloud coming. And the cowboys, they was all working cattle, and finally they just turned them loose and put the horses in the corral. And it was a cyclone. Mm-hmm. And you could look at it, and it was down the river, what they call Red River, down that way, and it was just taking the cedars up. You could just see them flying through the air like that. I had 100 biscuits in the oven. No wood stove, you know, Majestic. It was a great big pan about like that. You know, I had 100 biscuits in there. And I'd run back out on the porch and I'd watch that thing. And I thought, oh my gosh, is it going to jump that river and come up this way? Mm-hmm. And I was scared to death and I'd run back in the house and watch those darn biscuits. And I had other stuff sitting on the stove, you know, we already cooked, but I was waiting until the boys come in to put the biscuits in. Oh, I was absolutely scared to death, and I was afraid the doggone thing was going on to Childress and hit that town. My daughter was. Well, I was a nervous wreck. But it finally left there, and I got the cowboys fed, and that was early in the evening. Oh, I'd say around 3:30, 2:33, something like that. And so we jumped in the car after we got through the dishes. I fed the boys. And went to Childress to see about my daughter. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it had hit there, but it hit her school. And she couldn't go to school the next day, so she was real happy about it. I get to go to that ranch. And so we brought her back with us. And that's the way it was every summer that, you know, when they worked cattle, mm-hmm. I'd have to go back and forth. And I cooked there for them for all those, well, about 4 years, I guess, five.
And those 5 years you stayed in town partly during
the
year?
Because my daughter was 9 years old when we came out here. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get work there, and I heard about the aircrafts out here, and my brother and his wife had already come out, and one of my sisters already come out. And my grandmother and grandfather had passed away by then. And then I came on to